Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" And the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And Jesus said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." Then he said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart, to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures these things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, our resurrected Lord and Savior, who confirms and strengthens us by speaking to us with his word, dear fellow redeemed. In our last Bible study at the Heritage Home, we mentioned that many people in America celebrate Easter. But how many people celebrate Resurrection Day? For many, Easter means gathering together with families, hiding Easter baskets with all kinds of Easter candy, Easter gifts, calling Easter eggs, having ham, and so on. But how many really know the meaning to Easter? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is an historical fact. It did happen. It took place. It's not just some legend, some myth, some fairy tale from ancient times. And today, many people find that fact hard to believe. Even as in Jesus' day. In fact, Jesus' own disciples found that astonishing fact hard to believe. In our sermon text this morning, we see Jesus appearing to two of those doubters as they walked from Jerusalem on the way to Emmaus. We've entitled our theme, "A Springtime Walk with Jesus." According to historical accounts, the resurrection of Jesus occurred sometime during the first few weeks or first week of April. In fact, some people have said it was April 9th. That places it in middle spring in Israel. As we heard in our text, Emmaus is 7 miles northeast of Jerusalem. You get there by going up and down winding hills and valleys. So picture if you're one of those two men walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus on that springtime late afternoon. No doubt the hills are covered with a carpet of beautiful flowers. Buds are blooming and blossoming. There's probably the fragrant smell of flowers in the air. Birds are chirping. It's spring. It wasn't spring in the hearts of these two disciples. We're told that they were walking downcast, sad. They're going back from Jerusalem to their home in Emmaus, and they're reasoning with one another, conversing. Literally, the words mean they were debating, disputing, and arguing vigorously with each other. So you can imagine them talking with their arms flailing, voices rising as they're talking about what's happening. Not only could someone see that they were kind of upset with their gestures, but we're told that they were sad, literally downcast. They were distressed. And suddenly Jesus comes up from behind them and begins to walk alongside of them. But we're told, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. They no doubt thought he was one of the many strangers that had gone to Jerusalem during the Passover and now was returning back home. When Jesus asked them what they were discussing and talking so intently and so sadly, one of them, Cleopas, answered his question with a question of his own. He said, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" Jesus knows, but he wants to know what they know. And Cleopas gives a very good summary of Jesus' ministry. He says, he was a prophet, mighty in word, preaching, as well as mighty in deed, miracles. He spoke with authority, the word of God. A good summary. Then he said, and the chief priests and elders condemned him to death, and he was crucified. The problem was that Cleopas' summary of Jesus' ministry is followed then by this very despairing phrase, "But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel." Their hopes were dashed. Their dreams were destroyed when they saw Jesus hanging there helplessly on the cross. Why would God allow this travesty of justice to take place? Why wouldn't he do something for this man who declared himself to be the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God? And then they said to Jesus that we're even more bewildered because now this morning, women came to us and said they went to the tomb early in the morning and it was empty and the body of Jesus was gone. They waited in Jerusalem for more witness, for more words. It was getting late. Now they needed to go home. Their hope for the redemption of Israel was a lost cause. What kind of redemption were they looking for? It appears that they were looking for some kind of a physical rescue, a redemption from the Roman government, or at least they didn't clearly understand the scriptures concerning the necessity of Jesus' suffering and death. And even the news of the women that they saw some angels who said that he was alive again didn't bring them joy. Just more grief, more doubt, more despair. So like a parent who gently rebukes his child because he should have known better, Jesus gently rebukes these disciples because they should have known better. Hadn't they read the scriptures? Wasn't the suffering of Jesus and his death an integral part of God's salvation? Wasn't all mapped out in the Old Testament the way that it happened? Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? What a marvelous privilege these two men had as they had now the risen Jesus as their Bible teacher. Speaking from his very own lips, the words of the Old Testament prophecies concerning his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. The Lord Jesus, no doubt, started from the very beginning. Adam and Eve's fall into sin. And the first promise that the seed of the woman would come and crush Satan's authority, but have his heel bruised. He no doubt quoted one passage after another passage to show how essential Jesus had to die, and then also how essential was the resurrection. No doubt extensively quoted from Isaiah 53. On this springtime walk, Jesus brought hope to hearts that were disappointed. The hope of the word fulfilled. Then when they got to Emmaus, Jesus acted as if he was going to continue on and go further. And so they said, no, please, please stay with us. They were so impressed with this man's teaching and the words he was saying, they begged him to stay. And so he stayed. He sat down. They gave him some food. He took the bread. He broke it, said a prayer. And immediately, they knew it was Jesus. Not just knew it was Jesus, but they knew him by faith. Like the women we heard about last Sunday, they're at the tomb and they remember Jesus' words. Now everything seemed to make sense. Weren't their hearts on fire as this man spoke the word of God to them and told them that all these things had to happen? All these things were already prophesied. All these things were determined by God to take place. Yes, convicted them of their unbelief and despair, but also assured them of their hopes and their dreams. Because on this springtime walk, Jesus brought proper understanding to hearts that were confused. But then he disappeared. He's suddenly gone. And these two disciples, with hearts on fire, with zeal and love and devotion and service and conviction of faith, got up and hurriedly went back the 7 miles up and down those hills to Jerusalem. This time, their journey was far different. No longer were their eyes downcast and their hearts heavy. No doubt their eyes were lifted up, hearts of joy. No doubt running hurriedly to get to Jerusalem. And they burst open the doors where the disciples are. And they hear, the Lord is risen indeed. He's appeared to Peter. And then they tell about what they had experienced, how they walked and talked with Jesus and sat down and he began to eat with them. Our first scripture reading this morning, Isaiah 41, 42, verses 1 and 2, spoke of Jesus' concern and love for the spiritually weak, for those who are confused, despairing, despondent. The Lord says in that text, he will not snap off the bruised reed. He'll not snuff out that smoldering wick. What a perfect picture and example of these two confused, bewildered, despairing, and despondent disciples. Their faith was flickering. Their faith was faltering. They were deeply bruised and bent. How easy it could have been for Jesus to say, "How stupid you are." And then really blast them and tell them, "You should have known this. You should have known the scriptures." And in anger, walked away from them. But he couldn't do that because he is perfect love. Yes, he did rebuke them because he needed to realize their unbelief. He needed to realize their failure to comprehend and understand the scriptures. But then he gave them hope. He gave them spiritual understanding. He gave them comfort. He gave them joy to overcome their despair, their grief, their confusion. So finally, on this springtime walk with Jesus, Jesus brought comfort and joy to hearts that had been grieving. And he does the same thing today. When I worked on the sermon, it was Friday, and I wrote this next line. Before the snow came yesterday and the cold weather, I said, yes, even in this springtime weather, we may be walking outside with the birds chirping, flowers and buds beginning to bloom, and with the fragrance of fresh spring air, But we too may be despairing or sad or despondent or downcast or depressed. And not just because of spring snow, but because our life is filled with troubles. Our life is burdened. The pressures of daily life, maybe a broken relationship, the pain of the loss of loved ones through death, the anxiety of sickness, the emptiness of a meaningless life, the fear and the uncertainty of an unknown future, the guilt of sins committed, monetary problems, our workload and job commitments, maybe school and all things you need to get done before the school ends, a multitude of other problems weighed down on us even as spring is coming. The good news that as we walk through this spring of 2019, Jesus is walking there right beside us with his word speaking to us. Yes, he too reprimands us for our doubts, our concerns and worries, our anxieties, for not taking him at his word, for not trusting him as we should. But then through his glorious promises, he renews our hope. He fills us with spiritual understanding of the scriptures, and he showers us with comfort and joy with his message, I who died am alive again forevermore. Bent, bruised, flickering, that's our faith. And Jesus comes to us, walks beside us, fans the flame of our faith, strengthens, straightens out that bent stem of our trust in him. He's the one friend who not only stands with us every day, but he's the one and only one who has the cure. In despondent, bewildering, confused, and distress-filled days, he comes to us with promises of forgiveness and life and salvation, and I'll never, never leave you because I raised from the dead. He's our greatest counselor. Notice how he counseled these two disciples. First, he let them speak. He let them pour out all their concerns, all their grief, all their confusion, their disappointment, their uncertainty. And then he spoke to them with the one thing that they needed, the word. So Jesus also comes to us today and he says to you and me, speak to me about your grief. Tell me about your worries, about your doubts, your concerns, your anxieties, your fears. Call upon me in the day of trouble. Cast all your anxieties and your cares upon me. Lay your sins, your failures upon me through repentance. And in prayer, talk to me. And then listen to me. Listen to me speak to you in my word in your weekly worship services, in your private Bible readings, and in your daily family devotions. These two men might never have realized that that was Jesus that was walking with them, or had their faith reawakened, had they not said to Jesus, stay, abide with us. And so may we daily pray, Lord, abide with us. Speak to us. Walk with us during this springtime with a joyous and powerful message of the resurrection fresh in our hearts, and continue to walk with us throughout every season of our lives. Then our hearts too will burn on fire with zeal and joy and excitement and eagerness to get this word out and tell others, Jesus rose from the dead. He who died for us and paid for my guilt is now alive and lives forevermore. Confidence, courage, dedication, as he reveals to us the good news, forgiveness, life, and salvation is yours and mine because Jesus died and rose again. May we each take a daily springtime walk with Jesus and his word. Amen. the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.